And that means our phone lines are open for you right now. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, love to have you join us this morning. All you do is pick up the phone and give us a call. Telephone number here at the station, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We'll get you on the air this morning with CJ Kloss and Nate Bribe of Kloss Financial. Don't forget you can learn more about Kloss Financial on their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website. Not only you can listen back to the podcast and subscribe there, sign up for the weekly Market Pulse newsletter. You can learn more about Kloss Financial, their separate divisions. Learn more about the team as well, all at klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. And joining us this morning are CJ Kloss and Nate Bribe. CJ, how you doing this morning?
I'm doing great. How are you, Sean?
I'm doing really well. Great to talk with you. Nate, how have you been?
Hey, Sean. Doing good. Happy to be back.
It's great to have you both along. Great to have you back. Nate, and I wish, we love talking with Malia, and I wish she was here this morning because I think she's got a lot to do with the website. You guys update the website pictures, and I'm the one that always points out when the website pictures
get. That's right.
There's a picture of slices of watermelon, which look delicious, with mint leaves on them. And I'm curious, have either of you had watermelon with mint leaves on said watermelons?
Nope. Nope, but it sounds good.
Sound good. Nate, you're a nope as well. Yeah, a little sugar, a little salt. I've done both of those, but never mint. So we'll have to, when Malia's back with us next week, I'll ask her about that. These are the important things that we tackle in
Sean. I thought, Sean, you're going to talk about my golf slice, yeah. my slice on the golf course. I thought there was a picture of me swinging a league last night. I was worried.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting you mentioned that too, as we talk about the advisors and getting to know everybody. One of the cool things is, I know, Nate, when you go to your photo on the page, you're also a skier as well. So well-rounded.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, got a little summer, a little winter activity as well. We've got an important and a really good conversation, Ed. We're going to be talking about some advanced planning topics when it comes to financial planning topics with CJ and Nate this week. Phone lines are open if you've got a question. 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. Before we get rolling on this week's conversation, another really cool thing that goes on the program is the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week, your chance to win a fantastic prize. This week is no exception. Our friends from Kloss Financial have provided a $25 gift card to Target. Tell you a bit later on in the program how you can win that. A little tip is oftentimes both the question and answer to the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week come up during the program, so it pays in multiple ways to listen closely. And again, we'll tell you a little bit later on all the details on how you can win that. And before we get rolling on this week's conversation, let's actually look back at last week's program, the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Get the question and answer there as well, Nate.
Yes, and as always, thanks everyone for listening, and congrats to our winner from last week, Joel of Madison, who correctly answered the question, which was a fill-in-the-blank question asking, asset allocation in your portfolio is typically comprised of stocks, bonds, and the correct answer was cash. So thanks again, Joel, for calling in.
Really good program last week as well. If you missed any of that show or missed any of today's program, don't forget, you can always listen back at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. So the focus of today's program is surrounding some areas of some advanced financial planning topics. And what are some of those, CJ, some of those topics or concepts our listeners should understand as they plan for a successful retirement?
Yeah, good question, Sean. And I have one of our financial planning, what we call super nerds, on the air with me today, and Nate Bribe. And so as we were preparing for the show, we decided to kind of kick it up a notch and focus on some more advanced financial planning topics and concepts that people should be considering as they plan for a successful long-term retirement. Now, many of our listeners have heard us kind of regurgitate basic financial planning topics over the years. But for today, you will be hearing topics and concepts that we have never discussed on the air over the past 15 years we've been doing this show. Therefore, if you've been listening for quite a while, listen closely because you'll probably learn something new today. But during today's program, we will be covering the following three topics. Topic number one, will be around nominal returns versus real returns and how critical they are in long-term financial planning assumptions and projections. Topic number two will be around arithmetic versus geometric means and how important they are in managing expectations and in building a reasonable retirement portfolio distribution rate. And topic number three will be around sequence of returns risk in the early years of retirement and how to mitigate the risk with asset allocation.
This is going to be, they're always good, but this is going to be especially interesting. I'm looking forward to getting into all three of those topics. So, and it sounds like we're in for a heck of a treat. So, Nate, let's begin with that first topic, nominal returns versus real returns. What do folks need to know there?
Yep. Let's begin with a simple definition of nominal returns, which is the total rate of return earned on an investment before deducting things like inflation, taxes, and fees. Basically, you can think of a nominal return as the gross rate of return. Conversely, real returns are earned accounting for taxes and inflation. So this is the net return, which actually increases your purchasing power, which is key. Therefore, real returns will always be lower than nominal returns.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Nate Bribe, and talking this week about some brand new topics, something we haven't talked about in the past, which is some advanced planning topics. Don't forget, if you've got a question for CJ or Nate, love to have you this morning, 321-1310. That's 321-1310. You can learn more about Kloss Financial online at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number 608-321-1310. Nate, sound like you cut out a little bit there, but should be back. And what were you saying there?
Yep. So inflation is known as the silent killer. It erodes the purchasing power of your money over long periods of time. Simple examples of inflation can be seen when comparing the cost of a gallon of milk in 1974, which was, believe it or not, 72 cents for a gallon, versus a gallon of milk today in 24, averaging closer to $3. So obviously, a gallon of milk has the same utility function, we call it, 50 years later, but it simply costs more. Now, year after year, you may hardly recognize the impact of modest inflation, but decade over decade, the compounding effect has huge impacts. When building a retirement plan, you must account for this reduction in purchasing power. Given that inflation has averaged about 3% per year over the past 100 years, we can use the rule of 72 and determine that your dollar today will lose 50% of its purchasing power in just 24 years. Therefore, it is imperative for retirees to keep their assets growing at least the rate of inflation, which, if you're following along, would be a real return of actually zero. As a side note, one of the biggest errors we see with DIY investors is using nominal returns in their calculations. They may simply open up Excel and do a future value calculation with nominal returns and say, if I add this much to my 401k for 20 years and earn 6%, I will retire with this much money. Which may be true if the return assumption holds, but $1 million today in 20 years is not, $1 million in 20 years is not worth $1 million today because of inflation. Once again, the tricky part is that you may not see the detrimental effect of this compounding inflation until later into your 80s or 90s.
Fantastic stuff. And real quick, Nate, your connection kind of cut out there. That we were talking in that previous question just about the difference of nominal versus real returns. And is there kind of a way to kind of really break that down, kind of make those definitions as simple as possible?
Yeah. Yep. So once again, real returns are returns after accounting for inflation, fees, and taxes. So a nominal return would be a gross return, saying I make 8% on an investment, but you have to subtract out 3% for inflation. So maybe your real return is closer to 5% or somewhere closer to that number.
really important stuff to know and understand, and some very interesting concepts as well. As we talk this week with CJ Kloss and Nate Bribe, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial, the website klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Great website and resource to learn more about the folks at Kloss Financial. Their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Or if you have a question, love to get you on the air this morning with Nate and CJ. Telephone number here at the station, it's the same as it's always been, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. We're going to get more into real returns. We will do that next and take your call as Money in Motion with Kloss Financial continues here at 1310 WIBA. If you've got a question for our retirement planning professionals, phone lines are open, 608-321-1310. That's 608-321-1310. If you missed that first segment, by the way, you missed a lot. I definitely urge you to go back and listen at klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Nate was kind of explaining the importance of real returns and what the effect they have on net inflation. It was pretty, there's a lot of information there. Again, even if you were paying attention, you probably want to listen back at klossfinancial.com. Our telephone number to make an appointment, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment and conversation at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. And mention the website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. So, CJ, what do folks need to know about topic number two, regarding arithmetic versus geometric mean calculations. And I also feel like I needed a dictionary or some type of high-level pronouncer this week.
I know. So it's arithmetic versus geometric mean calculation. So as I get into this section, just to re-emphasize what Nate was just going over there. So often when you watch a video, a YouTube reel, or a little financial expert saying, if you just stop drinking your Starbucks and take that $3 a day and put it into something earning 8%, you're going to end up with, you know, whatever, $1 million by the time you retire. That is almost always, not always, but almost always a nominal return calculation. Okay. And so your brain is calculating the value of the $1 million in the future in today's purchasing power. Now, as Nate just went through, you can't do that. You cannot do that because 50 years down the line when you get to retirement and you made that 50-year decision not to buy a Starbucks, which, by the way, I support that decision. I'm just saying you need to understand the accurate calculation of that because it is not the nominal return that will impact your purchasing power. It is the real return, that is nominal minus inflation, taxes, and fees. So when you run these calculations, as you can imagine, for people like us, we are running 20, 30, 40-year calculations all the time. And people don't come to us for a hypothetical view of retirement. They come to us for an accurate calculation of where they can be. They come to us to find out if they should retire, right? And these are decisions that you cannot reverse on. So I just cannot emphasize to you all enough, if a gallon of milk can go from 72 cents to 350, or if a home can go from $35,000 to $450,000 in average cost of a home, then it means there is something in this nominal versus real calculation. And so, you know, big push here on what Nate just mentioned. You must be doing real return calculations when you are projecting for retirement. Okay. Now, if your heads aren't spinning enough on that kind of nominal versus real return topic, then I'll be sure to get them spinning now as we talk about arithmetic versus geometric mean calculations. So like my colleague Nate did on the last topic, let me begin with a simple definition. According to Investopedia, an arithmetic mean is the sum of a series of numbers divided by the number of items in that series. In more common language, we generally refer to this as the average of a data set. In investment or portfolio return calculations, we often refer to this as the average return of an investment or portfolio over long periods of time. Okay, so simple enough. Again, arithmetic mean, what are we talking about here? An average of a series of data sets. And then what does that mean in portfolio management? The average return, if you're taking like an annual return over a long period of time. But conversely, according to Investopedia, a geometric mean is calculated by taking the product of these numbers and raising it to the inverse of the length of the series. The geometric mean is best used to calculate the average of a series of data where each item has some relationship to the others due to serial correlation. Now, most of you are going, oh my gosh, what are you talking about? So let me give this to you more simplistically. When evaluating an investment return or portfolio return of a grouping of investments, it's critical to use geometric mean calculations, given that they account for the impact of prior earnings and compounding. The geometric mean considers the compounding that occurs from period to period, whereas the arithmetic mean does not. The longer the time horizon, the more critical the compounding becomes and the more appropriate the use of what's called a geometric mean. So, you know, imagine talking about investment returns, but removing the positive or negative impact of compounding. Nobody would do that. As a matter of fact, everybody says you invest because of compounding, right? So the reality is when you hear somebody talk about average returns of the market, they're often talking about the arithmetic mean. When somebody says, I'm going to use the geometric mean calculation of the markets over time, they're taking into effect the positive or negative compounding.
Talking this morning with CJ Kloss and Nate Bribe, our retirement planning professionals from Kloss Financial. You thought school was out, silly. Getting a great education this morning from CJ and Nate. Don't forget, if you miss any part of the program, you can always listen back at KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. And their telephone number is 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. It's great stuff, CJ, and really good information. Let's kind of then bring it back around to what it has to do with planning for a successful long-term retirement.
Yeah, good point, John. It's like, that's interesting, but what does this have to do? So great question. The reason this matters is because you will experience the geometric mean when investing in stocks and bonds over a long period of time due to the correlations, volatility, and compounding. You will not experience the arithmetic mean. So if somebody just says, oh, the stock market has averaged 12% per year since, you know, whatever, whenever that is, they're often talking about the arithmetic mean, which interestingly enough, that may be a fascinating data point, but if you had invested in the stock market over that time frame, you wouldn't have experienced that. So let that sink in, everybody. If somebody says, oh, the average of the S&P 500 is 12% per year, that's fine. That's fine. But if you had actually put money into it, you wouldn't have experienced that. So therefore, you and your advisor must be using geometric mean return assumptions minus inflation and taxes over long periods of time to accurately project your ability to retire. You can't just take the average of a long data set of the market and say, that's what I'm going to experience. Because that, again, that is stripping out the impact of compounding, positive or negative. So all too often, we see people working on their own with an uneducated advisor using broken tools to create broken projections that lead to broken outcomes. I assure you that we are not trying to scare you into believing us or working with us. I assure you. But we have just seen too many mistakes made by novice mathematicians or advisors when it comes to making life-altering decisions like when to retire. So let me give you a simple example of this. Because you might be going, arithmetic, geometric, like how would this actually show up? Well, here's the simple example. The arithmetic mean or the average return of the S&P 500 from 1926 to 2022, about 100 years, when not accounting for the impact of serial correlation and compounding, is 12%. Let me repeat that. From 1926 to 2022, the S&P 500 average return is 12%. If you take a 12% arithmetic mean, which is a nominal calculation, minus a 3% inflation assumption while ignoring the impact of taxes, you end up with a 9% real rate of return on the S&P 500 over that time frame. However, conversely, over that same time frame, simply by changing the calculation to a geometric mean, which does account for serial correlation on compounding, we end up closer to 10%, which is what an investor would actually experience if they were invested in the S&P 500 over a 100-year time frame, not the previous 12%. So therefore, if you take a 12% geometric mean nominal calculation minus a 3% inflation assumption, while ignoring the impact of taxes, you end up with a 7% real return or net return of the S&P 500. And as you can imagine, if we are doing projections for clients and saying, and just being lazy about the calculation, and we're using a 9% instead of a 7% return assumption or over 30, 40 years in retirement, well, I cannot emphasize to you enough how off we would be in our calculations. And it's not even a matter of, you might go, well, you're projecting the future, you'll never know. No, I know that. It's an unknown future. But we're actually using a broken tool. The calculation that we had done in the prior one using the 12% number isn't anything you could ever experience because it's ignoring compounding and serial correlation. So here's the point, everybody. If you're going to do long-term projections of savings rates or long-term projections of a retirement plan, please, please, please make sure you are, number one, working with an advisor who understands nominal versus real returns, and number two, understands geometric versus arithmetic return calculations. It will cause significant harm if you're running calculations without accounting for those two factors.
Really highlights the importance of working with folks that are experienced and have expertise and understanding retirement planning when you're putting this plan together. As we talk with CJ and Nate this week, been talking about kind of building that nest egg, building that snowball. What happens when it comes to kind of taking that withdrawals and other things? You probably heard the term sequence of returns and the risk, sequence of returns risk. We're going to get the details from Nate in that in just a moment. We'll also do the Kloss quiz question of the week. In the meantime, if you haven't been to the website, klossfinancial.com, head on over there, check it out, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. And their telephone number, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get-to-know-you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608. 608-442-5637. More of Money in Motion with Kloss Financial is next right here on 1310 WIBA. Talking with our retirement planning professionals, CJ Kloss and Nate Bribe. Of course, this is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial. Their website, klossfinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. Telephone number, 442-5637. Okay, so final thing for today is sequence of returns and understanding sequence of returns risk in the early years of retirement. What do we need to know there, Nate?
Yep. Everyone hang on, because this is one of my favorite topics. So starting with a simple definition, sequence of returns risk is the risk that the order can negatively impact a portfolio's ability to replenish itself. So basically, it matters if you receive positive returns first early in retirement or negative returns. In fact, using a statistical regression analysis, retirement researcher Wade Fowle determined that 53% of retirement outcomes can be explained by the returns a retiree receives in the first 5 years of retirement. Okay. So in other statistical jargon, these first 5 years of returns have a high explanatory power towards your retirement success. Knowing this, I'm not sure this risk gets as much attention as it requires. So if you followed CJ's last part on geometric returns, you understand the importance of sequence risk. Since investment returns compound, the previous year's return affects the amount of growth in dollar terms during future years. This is much like scoring in bowling. A strike followed by another strike, or then a strike followed by hitting only five pins. In another example, if you invest $100 and lose 20%, you must make 25% to get back to the $100, not just 20%. So if we look at this concept when it comes to withdrawing money from a portfolio, imagine two retirees, both starting with $1 million, taking out $50,000 nominally at the beginning of each year. Retiree one would experience, say retiree one experiences a plus 15% return in year one, plus 5% return in year two, and minus 15%. After 3 years, he would have about $887,000. Now, if you take retiree two, who experiences the same three returns, just in opposite order, so negative 15 first, plus 5, and then plus 15, he would have only $857,000 after 3 years. So clearly there's a $30,000 difference there. Now, just like the compounding of inflation, this may seem like a small difference now, but if we continue with this example, if both retirees earn exactly 5% per year going forward, retiree two would actually run out of money 4 years sooner than retiree one.
Wow.
So the first thing our listeners should determine is if they have high sequence risk. To put some numbers to this, if you expect to withdraw more than 6% of your portfolio for the first 2 to 5 years of retirement, we would say that you have a high risk of sequence risk. The good news is that there are ways to mitigate this risk by being strategic with your asset allocation. Retirees could consider holding a larger portion of cash, CDs, short-term bonds, or even period-certain immediate annuities. The optimal strategy would be to spend down these buffer assets early in retirement and let your stocks grow and recover from any volatility. Now, this may be unnecessary if you anticipate a lower withdrawal rate throughout retirement. Another way to mitigate this risk, although not our favorite, would be claiming Social Security or pension earlier than planned to take pressure off the portfolio. Most times we have clients start by drawing down on their and actually deferring Social Security to see what sequence of returns they get. If they experience a positive sequence, we keep spending from the portfolio. However, if negative returns are experienced, we may suggest claiming Social Security to reduce pressure on the portfolio.
Fascinating stuff this week. There was, as always, this show, there's a lot of information this week, especially there's a lot to take in. I guarantee a lot of folks are going that I have never thought of that stuff before. A great opportunity. If you've got questions, of course, telephone number for Kloss Financial, 608-442-5637. No charge for that initial get to know you appointment at Kloss Financial. It will be complimentary to you. Again, their number, 608-442-5637. Mentioned all the information in this week's program. Don't forget, you can always listen back to the podcast at KlossFinancial.com. That's Kloss, K-L-A-A-S, Financial.com. KlossFinancial.com is the website. Time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. It works like this. In just a moment, I'll ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. We'll then have 30 minutes for today's program to call the Kloss Financial office right here in Madison at 608-442-5637. If you are the first correct answer, win this week's prize, which is a $25 gift card to Target. This week's Kloss Quiz Question of the Week is this: true or false? Real returns are generally lower than nominal returns because they are reported after a reduction of for inflation. One more time. Real returns are generally lower than nominal returns because they are reported after a reduction for inflation. Telephone number 608-442-5637. First call with correct answer will win that $25 gift card to Target. Don't forget as well, that's Kloss Financial's office right here in Madison. 608-442-5637. CJ, Nate, always great chatting with you guys. Enjoy this great day.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks, Sean.
News comes your way next here on 1310 WIBA.